2 Samuel today. 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 15. That's where we pick it up. Our reading begins in verse 15. Then Hushai said to Zadok and Abiathar the priest, "Thus and so Ahithophel advised Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus and so I have advised. Now therefore, send quickly and tell David, saying, do not spend this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily cross over, lest the king and all the people who are with him be swallowed up." God's grace sometimes comes in the form of a warning. And this message to David is a warning. This message to David to get out of there is God's grace in action. Some people get upset with God's warnings that are in his word. He warns that if you reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're going to go to hell. He rejects that if you walk in the flesh instead of in the spirit of a Christian, you will reap destruction. They don't want to hear the warnings of God because, you know, they're so negative. Well, I don't know, but I've never heard of anyone warning someone to avoid something if it is good. So, of course, God's warnings are going to be negative, but it's God's grace in action. Verse 17. Now Jonathan and Ahimaaz stayed at En-Rogel, for they dared not be seen coming into the city. So a female servant would come and tell them, and they would go and tell the king. So here's the plan. It's sort of like a Pony Express deal. Hushai has to get the message to David. Hushai gives the message to Zadok and Abiathar. Zadok and Abiathar give the message to a servant girl. The servant girl gives the message to Jonathan and Ahimaaz. And Ahimaaz and Jonathan go to David with the message. There's just one problem. Just one problem here. Verse 18. Nevertheless, a lad saw them and told Absalom. But both of them went away quickly and came to a man's house in Bahurim who had a well in his court, and they went down into it. Jonathan and Ahimaaz knew they had been seen, and they knew that they were in trouble. So instead of going straight to David, they went to a friend's house and they hid. Christians need to get past the idea that if God is in something, that if something is God's will, everything will go smoothly. You got to get beyond that, because that's simply not the case. Just because it is God's will for us to do something doesn't mean there won't be headaches and frustrations and setbacks along the way. 18. Nevertheless, a lad saw them and told Absalom. But both of them went away quickly and came to a man's house in Bahurim who had a well in his court, and they went down into it. Then the woman took and spread a covering over the well's mouth and spread ground grain on it, and the thing was not known. And when Absalom's servants came to the woman at the house, they said, "Where are Ahimaaz and Jonathan?" So the woman said to them, "They have gone over the water brook." And when they had searched and could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem. She lied. There's no point in calling it anything other than what it is. And if she doesn't lie, those two innocent men are going to be murdered. Sometimes the choice we have is between bad and worse. This world is evil and corrupt. And that's why we don't always have a choice between good and bad. Sometimes it's a choice of a lousy job or no money. Sometimes it's a choice of a toothache or having a tooth pulled. Sometimes it's a choice of having cancer and dying from that, or having an operation, or something else. It's a choice between bad and worse. A lot of times in this world, that's the way it is. 21. Now it came to pass, after they had departed, that they came up out of the well and went and told King David and said to David, Arise, and cross over the water quickly, for thus has Ahithophel advised against you. So David and all the people who were with him arose and crossed over the Jordan. By morning light, not one of them was left who had not gone over the Jordan. Now when Ahithophel saw that his advice was not followed, he saddled a donkey and arose and went home to his house, to his city. Then he put his household in order and hanged himself and died, and he was buried in his father's tomb. Now you could say that Ahithophel had a problem with self-centeredness. His advice was rejected, and he was so insulted that he killed himself. That could be. Because when self is on the throne, a person needs to feel good when someone is making a big deal out of them. But they get all depressed when they have to take a back seat to someone else. So that could be. On the other hand, Ahithophel might have known that his plan was the very best and that anything else would not work because he was a top advisor in that country. And so it is possible that he thought, well, if they don't follow my plan, David's going to win. He's going to win this battle ultimately, and then I'm dead for siding with the rebel. And so he killed himself. 23 again. Now when Ahithophel saw that his advice was not followed, he saddled a donkey and arose and went home to his house, to his city. Then he put his household in order and hanged himself and died, and he was buried in his father's tomb. You know, if Ahithophel had been seeking God's wisdom and promoting God's word and relating God's counsel, he never would have been so depressed at his rejection. It would have been God's advice that had been rejected. And that's something for us to remember as Christians. When we give out the word of God and people reject it, they're not rejecting us. They are rejecting God. That's why you want to stay in tune with God. You're not the issue. If people accept you and like you, it's God they're accepting and like. If they reject you, it's God they're rejecting. It has nothing to do with you. 24. Then David went to Mahanaim, and Absalom crossed over the Jordan, he and all the men of Israel with him. And Absalom made Amasa captain of the army instead of Joab. This Amasa was the son of a man whose name was Jithra, an Israelite, who had gone in to Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, sister of Zariah, Joab's mother. In other words, Amasa, the commander of Absalom's army, is a relative of both David and David's general, Joab. Boy, holiday get-togethers must have been a barrel of laughs for this family, don't you think? They probably pulled each other's beard and swung sword at each other for the fun of it, for game time. 26. So Israel and Absalom encamped in the land of Gilead. Now it happened when David had come to Mahanaim, that Shobai, the son of Nahash, from Rabbah, of the people of Ammon, Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodabar, and Barzelli, the Gileadite, from Rogelim, brought beds and basins, earthen vessels and wheat, barley and flour, parched grain and beans, lentils and parched seeds, honey and curds, sheep and cheese of the herd, for David and the people who were with him to eat. For they said, the people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. God is taking care of David, and he is using other people to do it. And more often than not, God operates that way. More often than not, God uses people as his instruments to take care of his people. And that's why when somebody is kind to you, you must be careful to thank God for that. God put the desire in those people's minds to take the supplies to David. And the Bible says that it is God who works in us to will and to do his good purpose. And so somebody is kind to you, make sure you thank God for that. Let's go into chapter 18. And David numbered the people who were with him, and set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. Then David sent out 1/3 of the people under the hand of Joab, 1/3 under the hand of Abishai the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and 1/3 under the hand of Ittai the Gittite. Let's just stop there for a second. And I wonder if David's soldiers are thinking, boy, our leader is his old self again. He's thinking clearly. He's in command of the situation. He's not discouraged and depressed anymore like he was when he first heard about Absalom. He's shaking it off. And if that's the case, and it sure seems to be the case, that's a great encouragement for the men that he is commanding, because a discouraged leader isn't any good to anyone that is following him. You got to have confidence in the plan. Last part of verse 2. And the king said to the people, I also will surely go out with you myself. David does not say, men, I have this surefire plan. So you get out there and you put your head on the chopping block and I'll just stay back here and root for you. David believes that this is the best plan available, so he wants to be right in the middle of it. If a person believes in something, they'll want to be involved. 3. But the people answered, you shall not go out. For if we flee away, they will not care about us. Nor if half of us die, they will care about us. Even if half of us die, they won't care about us. But you are worth 10,000 of us now. For you are more help to us in the city. Stay here. You see, because David's men admire him so much, they demand that he stay clear of the fighting. They were protecting him. And of course, it's not normal to demand anything from a king. It's probably not smart, as a general rule, to demand anything from a king. But they care more about David's safety than they do their own safety right here, so they're willing to take a chance. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. When you love someone, you put down your foot and you tell it like it is, whether they like it or not, no matter what happens as a result. Verse 4. Then the king said to them, whatever seems best to you, I will do. So the king stood beside the gate, and all the people went out by hundreds and by thousands. They said, David, you're too important to risk being killed. And David didn't respond by saying, well, yeah, that's true. I am way too valuable. He just said, whatever you think is best. Others may say we are the best. We may believe in our heart that we are the best. But if we're walking in the Spirit, we will never say that about ourselves. Verse 5. Now the king had commanded Joab, Abishai, and Ittai, saying, deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom. Absalom has stolen the hearts of the people from his father. He has taken his father's throne and he has plotted to kill his father. I wonder what he would do if he heard his dad say these things about him. I think one of two things would happen. His heart would either melt or it would be hardened even more, depending on the substance of his heart. And you know what? If David had talked this way to Absalom from the very beginning, Absalom probably never would have started this civil war in the first place. So it says, now the king had commanded Joab, Abishai, and Ittai, saying, deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave all the captain's orders concerning Absalom. David is the kind of leader who his men will fight to the death for, because he's good. And he proved his goodness by giving orders not to kill his son, who's trying to kill him. Some people think screaming and threatening and intimidation makes a leader. It doesn't. It makes a dictator, not a leader.